everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm Rex Nelson, senior editor of the Democrat Gazette, and happy to have on somebody I've known a long time, Carlton Saffa, on the show today. Carlton and I worked together on some issues back when he worked in the office of Governor Asa Hutchinson. Literally, Carlton, you were the Quapaw Nation's first employee in Arkansas. I don't think it would be a stretch, would it, to say that what is now the fantastic Saracen Casino Resort started on your cell phone? Can I say that?
Actually, I'm going to tell a funny story I've never told before. So I
thought that would be fair. Saracen started on your cell phone.
It basically did. And then, you know, the world progressed, by the way, and we got very good at cell phone sports wagering. So it's kind of ironic. But, yeah, my last day in the Capitol was a Friday. And I went to Pine Bluff on Monday and met some folks who were going to be doing construction. And we began to prepare for going to the Racing Commission to get our license.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't even have a computer.
Wow.
It's really funny. I had a computer when I was working for Asa, and that computer would go back and forth with me. And it dawned on me I didn't have a computer. And my wife had an old, this is a funny story, I want y'all to visualize this. My wife had an old MacBook, and it was pink. And I remember I didn't have time to go by Best Buy and get a computer. I mean, it was day one.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that first week I was working off of a rose gold MacBook. We're moving right now, consequently. And I came across it in the bottom of a bin, and I just got kind of a chuckle that, yeah, it started on my phone / an old pink MacBook that belonged to my wife. Not necessarily an indication of being resource strapped.
Right.
More just the
being a startup. That's like any
just
startup.
Get it going at all costs. I need a computer. Hell, here's one in a drawer. Let's grab it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, an old pink laptop and my iPhone.
Man, and how we have come from then. I want to go back though, and then we'll kind of progress to where we are now and get some updates on where we are now. But What convinced you to make this change? You had a neat portfolio of issues you were working on, I know, in the governor's office. What was the attraction?
So, for a long time, and it's funny that we're here at the Democrat Gazette, for a long time, I actually wanted to be a newspaper man. I don't know if I've ever told you that.
I don't think you have.
But the funny thing is I grew up in Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
went to college in Fayetteville,
right,
and have lived in Arkansas longer than Oklahoma. I'm an Arkansan by choice and Oklahoman by birth. The problem with wanting to be in the newspaper business, I wanted to be in the newspaper business, but I ultimately wanted to be a publisher. Well, that really wasn't a possibility with the Gaylords in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the same with the Husband Empire in
exactly.
Arkansas.
Exactly.
So I thought, well, the heck with that. But I was always drawn to action, and I always had an interest in politics. I don't know that I was a policy wonk, but I liked the action.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the fight, the push, the pull, cutting the deal, obviously for the betterment of the state. But, if everybody gets what they want, that's not necessarily a good deal.
Right.
But I love being in the action. And what I will tell you is I think, and it was Don Tilton that really pegged this. He said, you're an action junkie. You're not really in anything. He said, you were good at sales. You're good at this. You'll be good for us in Pine Bluff. Of course, Tilton has been the longtime lobbyist of the Quapaw Nation.
Right. Probably, I was going to clarify that. Yeah.
Going on.
Lobbyist for many years, been involved in Arkansas politics and government for decades, of course.
Oh, just sort of a legend. I mean, Don, you think about it. I would say it's not a stretch to say he and Mike Beebe are just the closest of pals.
Exactly.
And everywhere BB was Tilton for all of those years in the Senate and when he was AG, when he was governor. But Tilton, I think, rightly pegged me as somebody that can't stand being bored. Mm-hmm. I would rather be so tired that I can't hardly move than bored.
Yeah.
And so he said, hey, we got an opportunity for you. And I'll make a long story very short. Tilton did this correctly. He went to Asa and said, I would like to talk to Carlton about coming to work with us in Pine Bluff. And I wasn't in the room. Asa said, Carlton doesn't want to lobby. He's made it very clear he doesn't want to be a lobbyist. If he leaves, he's going to leave to do something else. And he said, no, we don't want him to lobby. We want him to get the thing built. And then if he doesn't screw it up, we want him to run it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so anyway, I get a call from Asa. I didn't know Tilton was in the building. He said, you're going to get a call later about a job. You need to take it.
Interesting.
Well, I had a few other folks who had come to me with different things. And Asa said to me, and this is Asa gave good advice. He really did. He said to me, and we went across the list of opportunities. He said, you always have a home here, but you know my time will end.
Yeah.
And we went through the opportunities that I had, and he said, okay, in that opportunity, if you don't like it, you're going to be making a lateral shift. In that opportunity, if you don't like it, you'll be making a lateral shift. But if you can get this thing up and running, and if for some reason you don't like it, you can do anything you want because you will have built the only casino purpose-built in the state's history, and it will have been the first casino built in the state in 60-plus years. So he said, that's a hell of a lead, as I was part of the team that built Saracen, as opposed to I worked for Acme Corp doing XYZ.
Right.
So he said, everything is not going to be as good as you think it will be, and always think about what your next step will be if you don't like it. Well, here we are now. It'll be 7 years in June.
Yeah.
And I always tell people, I want to die at my desk, just not tomorrow. Because I can't imagine myself doing anything else. You know, the funny thing about it is, we were not particularly, I say we when I worked for ASA, we were not particularly helpful to the casino amendment, Amendment 100. Although I've never made any secret of the fact that I loved gamble. And, you know, and it's not just cards and dice. I mean, I was with my dad as a child at Remington Park when he hit a pick six. I mean, I love horse racing too, which people probably find hard to believe because our primary competitor is a horse track, right? But I love horse racing. It's an incredible sport. I've always loved gambling.
Carlton, as you know, you're talking to a guy who helped Oakland get games of skill while working for a Southern Baptist minister who was governor at the time.
Oh, yes. And, you know, so I think Eric...
We got a little bit in common right now.
I think Eric Jackson is a genius. I really do.
I agree.
You know, Eric holds many of the patents on those historic horse racing machines. But, I don't know that I really worked to do anything to nudge it in the Quapaw's favor. I mean, I actually would argue quite the opposite. The governor opposed the casino amendment. But what Tilton and the Quapaw said to me was essentially, you were of no aid to us, but you were a gentleman in your opposition. And you never T-boned us, you never sabotaged us, you never hijacked us. And I guess there's a message in that I guess manage your business professionally and people notice.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the message is exactly, but it was...
I think that's it.
You know, normally people try to kind of nudge the ball in the favor of a guy so they can get something out of it on the back end. I had no idea I'd ever end up working in the casino.
Yeah.
I just went about my business the way we tried to do it.
I want to go back to that amendment. It, of course, allowed, at the time, a casino to be built in the Russellville area, which never happened. We won't go into all of that. Most Arkansans have kept up through the years with the news. A casino to be built with there in Pine Bluff, a expansion at Oakland of what already existed, an expansion at Southland and West Memphis of what already existed. And I use this a lot, Carlton, in speeches around the state about it's important we don't stereotype in Arkansas. This is a very unique place, and you kind of have to know the intricacies as you've learned since you've lived here. And I said, probably more than 90% of Arkansans, if you had said upon passage of that amendment, one county will go very smoothly, be up running before anybody else. The other county will get bogged down in politics, bogged down in lawsuits, and it will never happen. Over 90% of Arkansans said Pine Bluff, Jefferson County will get bogged down.
It'll never happen.
Not Russellville, right? You agree with me that 90% of Arkansans would have said that? And it was just the opposite.
So George W. Bush, who I voted for, but I would argue that Bush.
And I worked for.
I would argue that Bush was not the most quotable of recent presidents.
Exactly.
He just wasn't the kind of guy that went off, you know, quipping. But he had a line, and I think Karl Rove gave it to him. He called it the soft bigotry of low expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And I always loved that line.
Me too.
And I think that's what you're talking about. is it's not overt racism, but it was an assumption that because Pine Bluff was in the decline, that they would screw up the casino. Mm-hmm. And because Russellville was Russellville, that it would be just fine. In reality, we had the Annex, which was our temporary casino, constructed and operational in about 100 days.
That was going to be on my list. I mean, I went down there and I was amazed while they were planning the big casino. These folks put up a metal facility connected to a truck stop, and people told me, you got to come see it. You had lines out the door day and night from the day you opened.
We did, and I will tell you that we did it for three reasons. And you're going to hear me talk about a three-legged stool in a minute. Reagan had his three-legged stool. We have our own. But we did it for three real reasons. The first was, even though people in Jefferson County supported the casino, there was a lot of fear of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that voids of information are rarely filled charitably. So we wanted to show people what a casino was like. It didn't mean immediately that, you know, the mafia showed up in town or loan sharks or that you had, you know, Robert De Niro as Ace Rothstein lurking in the shadows. So we wanted to show people what a casino looked like. When someone that you know or go to Sunday school with or live next door to works at the casino and says, hey, yeah, I work there, it's a pretty good place, that immediately changes your perception, right? Mm-hmm. So we wanted to get people to work immediately so that we could change the perception of what gaming meant. Number two, we wanted to train our people well. And I will tell you, the training department at Saracen is one of our incredible strengths. But the beauty of the Annex, there was 300 machines in there. And if you needed help, you basically could wave and a supervisor would come help you.
Uh-huh.
Take that to now Saracen, where the gaming floor, contiguous gaming floor, is bigger than most of the contiguous gaming floors in Las Vegas.
Right.
You know, it's a larger than a football field of games. We use radios, you know? I mean, we're not, hey, I need help away from your supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing was money. And it was money to the city and the county, which was much needed. And frankly, it allowed us to begin to see some profit from our business. Of course, ultimately, the total Saracen project represents a $600 million spend.
Wow.
We didn't make that on a gas station casino.
Yeah, exactly.
But it did allow us to immediately begin to build players and also to a certain extent to adjust player behavior. We immediately saw reactions from the Isle of Capri and from Harlow's and others, and they are now a fraction of what they used to be. I know you know those places well from your time at the Delta Regional Authority.
Mm-hmm.
But that was it. The Annex was never a play to create a pile of money. It was a play to get folks working and change the perception with the naysayers to generate revenue and to get folks trained. It was our driving range in many ways. It got people familiar with casinos because, you know, the guy in the cage, the cashier, he might have been at Simmons as a teller.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady serving drinks, she might have been at Red Lobster, right? And you'd say, well, they're the same, but they're different. And the Annex gave us a chance to teach people on the job. Here's what's cool, Rex. Many of those folks who started out in the Annex
are still with you.
Many. So we had
that's great.
We had about 350 employees. We overstaffed it on purpose to be able to train.
So you could train people.
But I'd say two-thirds of those folks are still with us.
Wow.
They have pins. You can see them if you're at Saracen. They're five-year pins. But there are middle managers.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them, in fact, most of our employees came without gaming experience. There are some exceptions. Some of our most senior people we've recruited in from markets all over the country. Lou Rosa, our slot director, his last full-time gig was being the slot director at the Palazzo.
Oh, wow.
He worked for Sheldon Adelson at the Palazzo.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got some hitters, but the majority of our people came with no casino experience, and something like the Annex allowed us to get them off and running. But yeah, I will tell you one other thing. The day we got our gaming license, which was June 13th, 2019, we actually went down to Pine Bluff and moved some dirt. We had some contractors move some dirt. Now, it was symbolic that dirt moved from one part of the property to the other, but we were trying to show we're going to start right now, and I think we did.
Yeah. One of the things you told me early on is we're going to set ourselves apart. And you mentioned the Mississippi casinos, which indeed I was very aware of because it's where all the meetings were, obviously, when I was with Delta Regional Authority. But you said the food and beverage we offer is going to be so much above those when we get a hotel built. And again, we'll get into that a little later. It's going to be so much above the rooms that you're used to in Tunica or Greenville or wherever. And you have lived up to that. So we'll start with food and beverage because you've been doing that for several years. Carlton will remember this, but I have to tell a story on myself. So Carlton wants me to come down and try Red Oak right when it opens. The pandemic had really just ended. I'd been home because one of my sons has an autoimmune disease, you might remember, and I hadn't gone anywhere for 13, 14 months until I could get the whole family vaccinated. And I'm so blown away, I say to you, Carlton, you have just cost me hundreds of dollars. And you said, oh, no, we've got this. This is media comp tonight. And I said, no, you don't understand. My wife is a foodie like I am, and we spoiled both of our sons. Now I'm going to have to get them down here, which I have since done on multiple occasions. But talk about that aspect, because I remember you telling me early on, and in fact, I will say, and you can go back and find the story in the archive, speaking of Don Tilton, Don and Carlton, before the casino was built, took me to Oklahoma and showed me how, knowing that I was a foodie, showed me how the Quapaw raised their own beef, raised their own buffalo, had greenhouses up there, got their own honey. So it was fascinating. Thank you. That was a fascinating trip. But again, early on, you said, we're going to set ourselves apart. Oakland has thoroughbred racing. Southland at the time had dog racing. We need to do something different. And you've done that.
Well, I'm proud of our team. And our team on hospitality is about half of our staff. We have about 1,100 folks that I work with at Saracen. Over half of them are hospitality.
Todd, and that's not the case at most casinos.
No, we're overstaffed on hospitality on purpose. Yeah. Overstaffed sounds like it's a negative. It's a positive. When you think about when you go to a place, service is so much of it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a huge component of it. And we don't have enough time to delve into service on the slot floor and jackpot payout times and responses. But there's all of these incredible analytics that we keep track of. We love technology at Saracen. And so, you know, from the moment you're at the door all the way through, we're not snooping. We're measuring analytics to look for efficiencies. And we're looking for efficiencies not because we're some private equity guy who's trying to grind down. No, we want that experience to be better. Because in the end, Rex, everyone can buy the same slot machines.
Mm-hmm.
And blackjack is 21 everywhere. There's a whole separate conversation we may someday have about how you can ruin it, like I believe Las Vegas is. And this is very inside baseball, but some of your listeners may know 3-2 is what a blackjack should pay you, a time and a half.
Mm-hmm.
6-5 is where they're going in Vegas, right?
Mm.
In the United States, traditionally, roulette has 2 zeros. In Europe, it has 1 zero. High limit roulette has 1 zero. Las Vegas has gone to 3 zeros, right? You can ruin the game. But generally speaking, everybody has the same slot machines. Blackjack's 21 everywhere. You can make a statement about who you are with food, beverage, and service. And I think we have, and I think we will continue to. You know, there's a million best of reports and rankings. But if you look back at Red Oak, I think 5 years running, it's been named the best restaurant in the state.
Mm.
Our wine list is a place we have made a sincere effort to really differentiate ourselves, partly because the analysts that review these restaurants, and they're analysts, they're not reviewers, they're analysts. They look at your wine list in depth. And probably no better example of an ambassador about best of best for us, Ken Lipsmeyer, who I know you'll be visiting
we'll
with.
We'll have him on a future show.
Yeah, exactly. Ken is phenomenal. But Todd Gold and his team, they set out to train to not just Forbes standards, but Michelin standards.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it shows. I guess my thesis, and this is going to make either total sense or no sense, so here we go. In a weird way, this casino, which cost hundreds of millions of dollars to build, the reputation of that casino was really built on the back of the restaurant and the back of the place. And that's really strange. That's an odd way to do it, right? But I guess there are parallels. I mean, you know, there are media outlets that become known for very small components of the publication.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you hear about the classifieds with the great newspaper war. I mean, there have been these components where little things change the big thing. But at Saracen, Red Oak defined Saracen.
Yeah.
What we knew was that everybody knows what good food is and what good service is. Everybody doesn't know what a good casino is. So we can make a statement about what we expect to put out as a product across the entire waterfront of our business by blowing you away in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And so we made a concerted effort to invite pretty much everybody we knew down on the house to come eat at our place.
And to this day, Carlton, I go down and, you've got people that spent years at the Capitol Hotel, for instance.
Our new hotel manager, Nick Bradley Hole, ran the hotel at the Capitol.
Yeah, so people that you know. And then you look around. I've lived in Little Rock the past 37 years. And it's people from Little Rock. It's like eating in a West Little Rock restaurant, people you know from Little Rock. So you have made that mark.
My brother, I love to tell people that the best place to eat in Little Rock is
in Pine Bluff. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
It is. It's worked. And the other thing is, if you like Red Oak, you're going to love the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So I can comfortably tell you that it will be the nicest hotel in the state of Arkansas. I realize that is a bold claim. But if you like what we've done in Red Oak, you're absolutely going to love what we're doing with the hotel.
That is a bold claim.
But it will be the nicest property. I was in there just yesterday.
Yeah.
It'll be the nicest hotel in the state of Arkansas, period.
You have also already announced the start of your entertainment options. I've got to tell you, my wife, again, got so excited. She's a huge John Legend fan.
You're going to join us.
My wife and I will be there, and my son and my daughter-in-law. We already have our tickets. So we have already purchased our tickets. We will be there that evening. But for those of us of a certain age, and I know you grew up in Oklahoma, but you've heard this from old-timers of my age. If you get people who are, I'm 66 now, in that period, we all look back and we remember that period when Barton had really gotten run down. They hadn't built the arena here. The Pine Bluff Convention Center was new. And for a period of years in the 1970s, Pine Bluff was the place to go for concerts and entertainment. So it's kind of a throwback. It's kind of neat for me because I can remember those days when, Elvis was playing Pine Bluff.
And it's not just entertainment. I mean, and I know we want to focus on that. I know you know the answer to this. I hope the listeners do. But the one time that the Razorbacks faced Michael Jordan was in Pine Bluff.
Oh, I was there. I was there.
I know you know
it. I was courtside. I was a sports writer.
That was a dramatic pause for the listeners,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, but if you think about it, the stories that we've heard about
the convention center when it was new was the place to go for the whole state.
I have been so happy. It's such a throwaway word, but I've just been so happy to hear people say basically what you're saying. But they're saying entertainment is back in Pine Bluff.
Yeah, and it brings back good memories for some of us who were at the Razorback games there and were at the concerts there.
Well, we can talk about that briefly. I mean, we've got a whole litany of folks. I mean, from Leslie Jones, who's probably the most dynamic African-American comedian in the market today, to Saturday Night Live, Hollywood star. We did her on purpose. Here's a funny thing. You know why you do a comedian on your first show? One mic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a good way to test a room.
That's a great point.
So we slotted a comedian first just to test the room.
To test the sound.
And then, after that, Cool in the Gang, we're doing some modern country with Jake Owen, and we're doing some 80s hair band. But then, right on the heels of that, we bring in John Legend, which I would consider our big grand opening act, right? The thing that folks need to know is you will continue to see John Legend-type acts announced.
That's pretty exciting.
We give away about a $100,000 car every month, and we do it so we have something to promote and advertise, and it also pays for itself. Old bankers remember when banks used to give away toasters for checking accounts. It's essentially a really expensive, nice casino version of that, but the funny thing is that your brand begins to be associated with the acts that you bring and the vehicles that you give. And I've had people say, why don't you give away 3 Camrys? Well, there's nothing wrong with a Camry, but I want to give away the car that you want to drive, not the one you are driving. So you get associated with the acts that you bring. Of course, we'll bring some smaller acts just to continue to have a constant flow. But you can expect to see acts like John Legend announced on the regular. We have some stuff in the can we'll announce as the year goes on for later this fall and next year. But you're talking about John Legend, who can fill an arena, who will be in an event center that seats 1,700. Huge acts in intimate environments.
One of the things I was delighted to see Carlton mentioned earlier that I spent 4 years during the George W. Bush administration with the Delta Regional Authority. I've always been fascinated with the idea of how do we turn around the whole southeast quadrant of Arkansas. I've been writing about it a lot recently, but I was really heartened, Carlton, to see a front page story in the Pine Bluff Commercial a couple of weeks ago where the people at the convention center, rather than saying, boy, Saracen's competition, saying this is uplifting all of us and our business is getting good again, and they're putting this area of the state back on the map. So you're working with other people. You're not seeing shut anybody out. And, of course, they're building a hotel again to connect to the convention center.
Well,
they will get different kind of meetings than you will.
Well, sure. But yeah. One of the things that's important, and this isn't probably very sexy, but, you know, we take our business responsibly. Gambling is, when done correctly, and I think you'll agree to this, it's a nice way to use disposable income and spend a day.
It's entertainment.
But
yeah.
it can be damaging. And I'm hyper aware of that, right?
Anything in excess can be.
That's right. But we don't allow folks who are not 21 in our facility.
Yeah.
And that's going to be great for the convention center because that opens up a whole other host of things. I will tell you, Rex, our goal is to get folks to give another look at Pine Bluff. And mm-hmm. I know that it is working. We have over 1 million visitors to our property a year. Now,
wow.
That's not unique persons, that's visits. And we know that over 70% of those visitors come from the central Arkansas area into southeast Arkansas. It's the easiest drive ever. You go like you're driving to the airport, and you just keep going. And 45 miles later, you take an exit, and you're on our land. It is just a direct, straight shot down 530. People who had written off Pine Bluff have a chance to visit again. And we are seeing that this rising tide is lifting boats across the board. Part of it is the casino revenue has been an infusion of cash into the city and the county. But also, we've given folks a reason to visit again. You know, I mentioned a three-legged stool earlier. We believe this, and I wanted to say this. If there's anything I wanted to say on this podcast, it's this. There are three things a casino must do. And I mean this. This is my livelihood. If we don't, they need to amend the Constitution and kick us out. The first is that we need to pay significant gaming excise taxes. The second is that we need to hire a whole bunch of people and pay them well. And we got 1,100 folks and payroll's approaching $55 million a year. And the third, probably the most important, I would put in sort of the macro bucket, and that is keep the money in the Arkansas economy with Arkansas vendors and operate responsibly. And I mean it sincerely, as a casino guy, if we're not paying a bunch of gaming excise taxes, if we're not hiring a bunch of folks and paying them well, and if we're not doing our darndest to be a responsible operator and keep the money in the market, not to Mississippi, not to Oklahoma, not to Louisiana, not to Missouri, if we're shipping all of the money off to vendors in Boston or New York or wherever, kick us out. Mm-hmm. That's the three-legged stool that I stand on. And look, we're doing it. I'm proud to tell you, Rex, as we tape this today, we just closed our most successful, I'm trying to think of the right word.
Yeah.
Our most successful quarter.
Congratulations.
So thank you. We work on fiscal year, but it was our second calendar in the fiscal, or our second quarter in the fiscal year. The previous high was last quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So December 31st, 25, a new high water mark for Saracen, then eclipsed by the end of March 26. New high water mark. So we are doing record gaming numbers before the hotel has even opened. And I have to throw this in there too. While we have tremendous competition in the face of horse racing season, we're putting up record numbers.
Wow.
And I'm proud of that.
Before we run out of time, and we're just about to, I knew it would go quickly, but you had mentioned starting on a cell phone and now people sports betting on a cell phone. You have been very innovative these last 5 or 6 years. And one of the things you did is on sports gaming, which has become so huge all across the country, you raced out there basically and beat everybody else in Arkansas to the punch and really established a brand, if you will.
Well, we run the 13th largest sports book in America.
We're 13th largest. in Arkansas based.
Yeah, and we do it in one state. We're the largest single state operator in the country. We were actually second to market. We held our product until we felt like we had a minimum viable product. That's a technical term I learned from the tech guys. But one of the things that we're seeing now, I'm getting a lot of calls from the state capitol. People appreciated and still appreciate the fact that we were a little bit funny and corny. Like when you see Joe Klein in the ads, Sidney Moncrief in the ads, they're kind of in on the joke, right? We are sensitive to the fact that this is a conservative state. I'm a conservative person. My politics are Republican. And we didn't want to just hammer people's telephones with constant ads saying bet right now or, you know, the sky is going to fall. So we wanted to make sports betting available, but we wanted it to be fun and we wanted it to have an Arkansas accent. I worry in other jurisdictions, we're beginning to see more and more issues where people maybe have over-egged the pudding, and you're starting to see states now pull back because in other markets, other vendors, and this isn't a criticism so much as a caution, other vendors have been so aggressive with advertising and promotion that I can make an argument that when you offer someone thousands of dollars to sign up and bet, perhaps they might not ought to be betting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
let me just go on and say, now you testified before the Racing Commission against allowing national affiliations. You lost that battle politically. We have now seen FanDuel, DraftKings come into Arkansas and associate with Oakland and Southland. So given that that has now happened, that's out there. You're seeing their ads on TV constantly now. Give me your argument of why it's better if I'm a sports bettor to be with an Arkansas based product.
Well, Bet Saracen was built by Arkansans for Arkansans to bet on Arkansas events. DraftKings and FanDuel are not going to give any regard to the Battle of the Ravine. Frankly, they're not going to give any.
Which you set a line on every year, by the way.
We do. Yeah. And Arkansas women's softball.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the other thing is, they're not really going to give much regard to Arkansas because we're a rounding error. We're simply more users they can put in their category when they report to Wall Street. When you go to Razorback Stadium, you see the Saracen name on the Jumbotron. When you watch an Arkansas baseball game, you see the Saracen name painted on the dugouts. Built by Arkansans for Arkansans to bet on Arkansas with. There's value in that. We understand and we know our market. The other thing I will tell you, I still contend, like all three casinos did only 4 years ago, that the national books probably may not be permissible under rules. And I'm not sure that we've seen the end of this conversation yet. And I will tell you, Rex, by the time this runs, I will go ahead and stipulate this. I believe we will see the first tax report, and I believe you will see massive abuses of free play being issued. And I think you're going to see something scary, and I think there's going to be a big pause. You will see no taxes paid on sports wagering from FanDuel and DraftKings with their partners at the two facilities. When you give away free play to induce people to gamble, that is the only deduction against your gaming taxes. This is a very short math model. How much is wagered? How much is paid back out to the players minus how much free play? That's what the taxes are. So $1 million is wagered, $900,000 is paid back. The casino made $103,000. And if the casino gave away $10,000 in free play, you pay taxes on $90,000. But we're seeing things in Arkansas that they scare me because they will go against that three-legged stool. They're going to begin to erode the tax revenue. So I don't want to name names because I like to be friendly. But one particular vendor in Arkansas, one of the casinos, their national partner was crowing on social media about giving away $2 million in free play in a week. That particular casino sportsbook has never made $2 million in a month. So they're giving away more in free play in a week than they make in a month. Well, as a consumer, you may say, hey, free's good to me, but I've always said that sports betting is good for you whether you place a bet or not. And you're going to see, I believe, legislative attention on this idea that there is so much free play being given out, that more people are gambling. But as a result of this free play abuse, you're seeing, in some instances, no tax revenue to the state. So we'll see if I'm wrong, but we'll see that report at the middle of the month. And it will be fascinating to see if you actually begin to see declines in the money. And let's not forget, 55% of it goes to general revenue. The remainder goes to cities in which the casino is housed, counties in which this casino is housed. And by the way, Jefferson County, Pine Bluff will be just fine. We run our own sports book. And the purse fund. So you could see retractions in Garland County, Hot Springs, Crittenden County, West Memphis, and the horse fund. The tax situation on sports betting, if we are going to have all of this sports betting and there's going to be no taxable event at the end of the day, I'm not sure this is a good policy for the state. And we may want to even reconsider doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely have to wrap up, but I do want to wrap up on this because I talked about coming soon, which your hotel is, which you said a few minutes ago is going to be the nicest in Arkansas. So very quickly, I come down there, I check in. What are the things that are going to make me say, wow?
First of all, the lobby was designed to be an Instagram moment. I don't even have an Instagram account, but I know what an Instagram moment is.
Yeah, I don't know one either.
It was designed for that. The chandeliers weigh 15,000 pounds.
Oh,
the place
wow.
is gorgeous. Terrazzo floors. Sissy's Log Cabin is the only outside vendor we have. Of course, an iconic Pine Bluff.
Yeah, brand. And going to have a store in the lobby.
Absolutely.
Right?
Wow. So we got a Sissy's. That's a big wow moment for some people. But jewelry stores are something people expect in Las Vegas, and they're going to see it in Pine Bluff. Starbucks approached us about putting a location in, and we will have a Starbucks in there. But natural stone throughout, extensive use of terrazzo, wool and silk carpet, which you and I have talked about, our love of that imported carpet we use in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But just the wow Instagram moment. From the moment that you drop your keys at valet until you really get through the whole process. Again, part of this comes with people with experience like Nick Bradley Hull, the old Capital Hotel guy, to Todd Gold and the rest. But I've never said this, but I will say it briefly. Everything on the hotel and event center side is one step above, just a little bit nicer. The tile in the bathrooms, just everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and we built a beautiful casino, not on the outside, on the inside, although it's looking pretty great now. Everything's just a step above. But if you like Red Oak, that is what you're going to see in the new lobby bar, in the lobby, in the event center. The rooms, the smallest room we've got is approaching 500 square feet. And we filled the place with Arkansas art and Arkansas landscapes.
Great, great. You know, I love that. All right. We got to wrap this up. Carlton Saffa, Chief Market Officer, Saracen Casino Resort. Thank you so much. Good luck going forward.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you for joining us for another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.